the legislature is very concerned about making sure we are a well-managed state and that we're addressing the concerns that our constituents have. And I think that the special session is a direct result of the concerns that we're hearing.
Here in Utah, we have a part-time citizen legislature, with our general sessions lasting just 45 days. Although those 7 weeks are extremely productive, sometimes unique circumstances arise that require the legislature to convene in a special session to address pressing needs of the state. Last week, our legislators met for one such special session and passed a series of bills necessary to deal with challenges that have arisen since the end of the general session in early March. Joining us today to give a recap of that special session and shed some light on why the legislature and governor believed it to be necessary is Representative Val Peterson. Representative, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Edward. It's great to be here.
So, Representative, first, can you give us a brief overview of what a special session is, how it works, and why this one in particular was necessary?
Yeah, so special sessions are created to address specific needs or things that are happening in the state that are outside the regular sessions timeframe. So in the state of Utah, the governor can call a special session, and the governor creates a call and puts different issues on that special session to be addressed by the legislature during that special session. The legislature did go back a few years ago and change the Constitution with the vote of the people to allow the legislature in certain circumstances to call a special session if need be. And that was just to make sure that you kept the balance of power between the governor and the legislature in an equilibrium. So yesterday's special session was called by the governor, and it was to address the flood conditions that we're seeing across the state. You know, I traveled north today. You could just see the water everywhere, which have created some unique circumstances. It's also taken some of our budgetary issues and it's thrown them out of whack. And so in order to continue state government functioning the way we want it to function, we need to make some adjustments within the budget that we have passed.
Now, this was the first special session to extend a state of emergency really since the COVID era. This time, the process worked a little differently than it has in the past. Since the repeated emergency declarations throughout 2020, the legislature changed the process by which emergency orders are given and really gave the legislative branch a lot more say in that process. You were actually the one that ran the bill to change that process surrounding emergency declarations. Can you tell us how the emergency orders worked in the past and what was so different about this extension of the emergency order this go around?
Yeah, so previously, the governor is the one that starts the emergency order process, and he was able to declare an emergency issue. And then the governor could actually renew that without the legislature ratifying it, if you will. And so what we changed in the emergency order process is that the governor can still call an emergency order for 30 days, but then the legislature must vote to renew that order or to extend it. And so the governor in this particular instance declared an emergency order for the flooding that was happening. The 30 days was going to expire. And so then the governor needed the legislature to extend that order beyond that scope. So the governor started having conversations with the legislature about why it was important to extend this order, what the needs were, the ability to access emergency funds, both at the state and the federal level. And so that's exactly what we wanted to have happen, was that instead of just the executive branch determining, well, we're going to extend that state of emergency, that there were discussions that went on with the legislature to make sure that there was a need to continue that state of emergency. And so that's what you saw yesterday is the 30 days is going to expire. The governor had conversations with the legislature about extending that emergency order. And then yesterday in the special session, the legislature actually said, yeah, we see a need to extend this emergency order, and so we're actually going to extend that beyond a 30-day period all the way to August 15th. And so you actually have a 90-day emergency order that was put in place together with the governor and the legislature.
Thank you, Representative. Now, there was some discussion about the length of the state of emergency and what that length needed to be. Ultimately, the legislature decided to extend the state of emergency until August 15th, as you mentioned. Why was that necessary, and what was the rationale for extension all the way into the month of August?
Obviously, under the changes that we made in the Emergency Powers Act, we made it so that you could authorize that time period for 30 days. And so there were some people who actually thought that it would be better if we just reauthorize it for another 30 days. When we looked at the calendar, we look at the water issues that we have, and we look at when the legislature is meeting. Obviously, we try to be as most efficient as possible. Every time we meet in special session, it's helpful if we meet on a day that we're already meeting so that we can save those costs. So one, we know we're going to have water issues through all the summer. And two, if we did it for 60 days, we don't generally meet in July. And so we just pushed that date to when our next interim session was going to be, which is the August 15th date, and said, all right, we're going to go ahead and authorize the state of emergency all the way through August 15th. We know we have those water issues. And then as part of that bill, we actually said to the executive branch, but at the 30-day marks, we want a report that's back to the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House about what the status is and what things that we're working on and what's the state of emergency at that time. So there is a reporting process that's put in place that's sending information and continuing that discussion and collaboration.
Now, as part of this special session that was held, there were four bills that were up for consideration. All of them passed, I believe, unanimously. And one of them was this extension of this emergency declaration. Another was this bill to reallocate a lot of funds within the state that you kind of touched on. Do you want to talk just a little bit more about that bill in particular, about what is this money that we are spending for these flooding emergencies and how will that impact Utahns?
Yeah, so one of the things that's happened with the extended winter that we had and the large amount of snowfall that we had is that some of the budget items that we have were kind of out of whack. And so we needed to do some budgetary adjustments. Budgetary adjustments were neutral as far as funding. There was no new funds that were put in. It was really just moving money between lines. And so what we did yesterday was the Utah Department of Transportation had expended the majority of their operational funds for the year in order to do snow removal. They had done over $20 million of snow removal last winter. So we took $20 million out of the UDOT construction fund and we moved that into their operational fund. And what that does is it allows them to continue to make sure that they're filling potholes, painting lines, and taking care of our roads like we would expect through the summer and fall months. The second thing that we did was is we took $10 million from the fire suppression fund in two $5 million tranches. So we took $5 million for FY23, and those funds are available for repairing of culverts, of water distribution systems, of things that have happened because of the winter that ruined some of our infrastructure, and be able to repair those over the summer and fall so that we're ready for next spring when we see this hopefully have a large amount of water and runoff again. The second thing we did is we put an additional $5 million there for FY24 as well. And in order for the Emergency Management Department to be able to access those funds, they have to have approval from the Executive Appropriations Committee. And the Executive Appropriations Committee on Tuesday approved them utilizing that first $5 million. And then the last thing that we did is we took $3 million from the disaster recovery restricted account, and we just moved it into the disaster recovery account. That puts $10 million there that the Department of Emergency Management can utilize as they're working through flood mitigation and making sure that we're addressing some of the issues that we're seeing during this state of emergency. So that gave a total of $40 million that was redirected to be able to work through the flood issues that we're seeing in the state of Utah.
Now, there were also two additional bills that were up for consideration, one on some revisions to firearm possession and another dealing with some firefighter death benefits. Can you walk real quickly through those bills? From what we understand, mostly technical corrections to previous legislation that passed, but can you give a high-level overview as to why those were so necessary at that time?
Yeah, so a legal immigrant that was here in the state of Utah under the change that had happened during the session, it restricted them to not be able to possess a firearm. And so what we did yesterday is we just reversed that, said that if you are a legal immigrant here, you have the appropriate paperwork that you can own a firearm. And then the second thing that we did yesterday was there were some survivor benefits for firefighters that just needed a code correction. There has been an oversight there and made an adjustment to the code that if an off-duty firefighter died, that then their spouse and family could access those benefits at the full rate that they had qualified for. Mm-hmm. So just both of those were really technical corrections to some issues in the code and worked through some issues that were happening in real time. Mm-hmm.
And why was it necessary to pass this legislation now instead of waiting for the next general session?
So obviously we had just passed the firearm restriction and that had some unintended consequences. And so having a special session gave us an opportunity to correct that and make it so that it was congruent with what people thought had been passed, making sure that if you're a legal immigrant that you do have access to be able to own a firearm. The second one, a firefighter had passed away that was not in the line of duty. And so as the family was trying to access their benefits, it was realized that there was an issue that in the code that had not been corrected at the time when they had done all the changes to the code. And so her benefits were going to be half of what they should have been. And so changing that technical correction gave her the full amount of the benefit that her spouse had earned after 27 years of service as a firefighter.
Now, Representative, oftentimes government is criticized for not being responsive or solving the problems that impact real people, especially in a timely manner. This special session of the Utah legislature really seems to be a direct rebuttal to that idea. What do you want your constituents and all Utahns to take away from this last special session and the work that the legislature really does up on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think, first of all, that, hey, we know there's issues out there. We know we've got a number of issues with the amount of snowpack that we have. We've got over half our snowpack that still needs to come down. And that's causing a number of issues in our local communities. And so we wanted to make sure that a state government is funded to be able to help with those issues and that we are, as a state government, being responsive to our citizens and their concerns. I think that first and foremost, you know, the legislature is very concerned about making sure we are a well-managed state and that we're addressing the concerns that our constituents have. And I think that the special session is a direct result of the concerns that we're hearing from our constituencies.
Thank you, Representative. Is there anything else that you would like members of the public to know or to take away from this whole entire process?
Just that state government really does believe in collaboration, communication, and working to make sure that the state is addressing the need of the people of the state of Utah. And the special session is a direct reflection of that.
Thank you, Representative. We appreciate you taking the time today to walk us through what is really an important issue here in the state. And we know that flooding is going to continue to be an issue over the next several weeks and months. And we're appreciative for you and the work that you and your colleagues do up here on the Hill in order to ensure that the state continues to function well and we address those issues as they come up.
Well, thank you. I think it's great that we had this opportunity to have a discussion about the Emergency Powers Act and what we did in the last special session. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Representative. Take care.